You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 3, powered by Scarborough Nissan. Driving satisfaction. It's the all-in clear-out sales event. Finance a 2020 Rogue S for 0% APR for 84 months, or get an up to $5,500 cash purchase bonus on select other models. Scarborough Nissan, Eglinton Avenue East at Warden.
CHUM AM Toronto is TSN 1050, an iHeartRadio station, and the voice of Toronto sports.
It's Mail It In Friday.
Yeah, hi, it's Bill Lumberg again. It isn't a half day or anything like that.
This is Overdrive.
It's not that I'm lazy, it's that I just don't care.
With Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
Final hour for the week. Mail It In Friday on Overdrive is brought to you by Coors Light, Mountain Cold Refreshment, made to chill. Ray Ferraro will join us here in a moment. We've got the Final Four now in the Stanley Cup playoffs. The Montreal Canadiens are at Vegas starting Monday night. And the New York Islanders are at Tampa, I believe, on Sunday afternoon. So yeah. Tampa taking on the Islanders, the Canadiens taking on Vegas, and obviously, the favorites are going to be Vegas and Tampa. I mean, I think it's pretty clear-cut. But I think history would suggest at least one of the quote-unquote underdogs will get through.
Is that's what I was thinking. Is there – did you get the feeling that with how these playoffs have unfolded, that there's going to be an underdog that goes right through?
I think probably that's going to happen. I mean – the Islanders maybe should not be labeled an underdog.
No, they've been a good team.
They've been a good team for a while.
Yeah.
The Habs are an underdog. You know, they stumbled into the playoffs. They were the fourth seed. They've had a great run. They're playing a Vegas team that's been very good for a few years and is better than them. Just like Toronto was better than them, it didn't matter. Like, I'm not selling the Habs down the river. I would pick Vegas. I would put money on Vegas. But I wouldn't be shocked at any combination of a cup final. But, you know, the clear-cut favorite is Vegas-Tampa for the Cup, starting in about 10 days, starting in about 2 weeks.
What we've seen, all I can think about is the Islanders are a pain in the ass to play against. They're heavy. They lean on you. They got good goaltending. They're structural, very sound. They got a great coach. That building rocks. And all I can think about is Tampa and Kucherov getting suspended a couple years ago in – Columbus, because he was so frustrated, and Tampa just got squeezed by Columbus. Like, that's the way that the Islanders will play.
And if the Islanders are going to get through, they need Barzal, Nelson, Bailey, Beauvillier, Palmieri to play out of their minds, to elevate even more, because Ray's even talked about it, how their work and their structure and all that get them to a certain degree. But then there's also Vasilevskiy in the net for Tampa. So they need somebody to get to him and score some goals. And those guys have to play out of their mind. They've been brilliant thus far. They have to continue and even get better.
You're right.
Play the best hockey of their life.
They're second in scoring in the playoffs. Like, that surprised me, looking at the stats. Like, they're just under, I think they're 3.7 goals a game. Like, they grind. They do get timely goals, but they get balanced goals. Sezika scored the other day. Palmieri's got 7. You know, you mentioned Brock Nelson. Like, they've got some guys that are, you know, that do find the back of the net. I like the Beauvillier kid. I think he's a really good player. Like, you know, Barzal, Eberle. Eberle's on a pretty good value contract. Makes $5 million a year. Jean-Gabriel Pageau. Like, you start to look at their team, and there are some, like, sneaky good players there. So it'd be interesting to see how that one. Clearly, Tampa's a favorite. Clearly, Vegas should be a favorite, but that's why you're playing the games.
That's why you play the games. I don't think it's, you know, David versus Goliath here. It's not like the Habs and the Islanders are, you know, two horrendous teams that have no shot. And it's not like Tampa and Vegas, because of it being the cap era, are the equivalent to, you know, the 78 Canadians or the 85 Oilers or the, you know, 91 Penguins or whatever. I don't know if they're super teams. Tampa might get there in a few years if they continue at the pace that they've been on. But, at this point, the clear-cut favorites are Vegas and Tampa. And I would probably suggest, based on the way the Islanders play and how well they've played for a couple of years, Montreal is probably the biggest underdog. And we're going to find out a lot about them. We're going to find out a lot about the Canadian division by extension, because you know that's coming, mm-hmm. right? If the Habs show up and get smoked, then all you're going to hear is the Canadian division sucked. It was fraudulent. It was brutal. They're all awful teams. From that standpoint, Montreal is actually representing the country. You know, I've always been personally against, you do whatever you want, but personally against jumping on the bandwagon of a team because of the passport or because of where they stand geographically. That's not going to happen for me. But I guess if they're representing the whole division in the whole country in terms of them being somewhat competent, I'd like to see them show up. You know, losing seven, if you're going to lose. But if you get smoked four straight, which I don't see happening because of Carey Price alone and how locked in he is. But, you know, the advantage that the three other teams have is they've been playing in front of a packed bar. Now, not all year. It's been a relatively short period of time. But Vegas is full. Tampa's full. The Island is full. Montreal, I haven't heard any update on capacity when they get home for Game 3. But it wouldn't shock me if between now and then we heard it doubled. Maybe up to $5,000. You get 5,000 people in the Bell Center, and they're all going to be Habs fans. There's not going to be any Vegas Golden Knight fans.
No.
That'll be enough to make a tangible dent on the atmosphere in the building.
I know honestly, the team can't do anything about politics, but I think they would be pushing because Vegas is going to be a circus. They're going to say, look, we got to have some kind of response. I know we have to be safe and all the protocols and everything, but we got to have some kind of answer to that when they come back to Montreal when the series gets back there.
I agree. Have to. But I think they could, through osmosis, sneak a few people in there. I mean, is there fire marshal counting? Like, nope, you're $24.99. There's
well, Carolina was saying they were having 11,000 people in there, and there was 27.
Exactly. I think Carolina had more people than they were capable of. Like, if that building held 18, they had 22.
They were scanning the crowd, and they're like, 11-2 in here tonight, and there wasn't an empty seat in the building.
People sitting on each other's laps. Like, it was, like, that packed, that loud. You're right. I think Montreal can create an atmosphere. It might be – Petrie, I think, is a big – could be potentially
a big loss. Doesn't
sound
like he'll be there for Game 1.
No, like that, what a greasy injury. You know what I mean? This guy's blocking shots, doing everything he can, skating along the wall and catches his finger in a photography hole.
If anything,
you know how like people have cross-check gait and people are pissed off? Get rid of those holes. This guy, like, if I'm Bergevin, I'd be pissed off at that. Some jackass has got to stick his camera lens through
there. They've been there forever, though. Like, couple of years you see a puck go through there, and you're like, how did that happen?
I know, but, like, seriously, like, Jeff Petrie is a key cog for Montreal on the back end. Because he's their most mobile defenseman, and he breaks his finger. It looks like he broke a finger or two because of a guy with a camera sticking his lens through there. Like, it's ridiculous. Like that fires
get
me up.
Some the guy drones can
sit.
Going.
The guys can sit 10 rows up and do it over the glass.
Well, like, especially with COVID, right?
Yeah, there's nobody in the building.
Want. Yeah, here's Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Have you ever had any experience with the photography hole at the rink and on the glass? Whether it's a puck going through, your stick getting stuck, breaking a finger, or what?
Yeah, shooting pucks there at practice.
That's about it.
Like, little contest, who can get one through the photography hole?
Yeah.
Exactly.
That's about it. I mean, like, I don't even notice the thing, right? And then, you know, like, the guy's there for games and takes the pictures, and we get those awesome pictures, and once in, like, never, a guy gets hurt there. Like, when I heard he got hurt like that, I was like, that. I can't even imagine what the odds are of that thing. And, you know, the guys are blocking 90-mile-an-hour slap shots and getting crushed all over the ice. And I mean, it's not funny, but it's kind of funny. Like, you're like, seriously, that's how you got hurt?
Yeah.
It's like a Bugs Bunny cartoon. Like a rock fell out of on his head or something.
Right.
Like, yeah. See, that third round of the playoffs, and guys are just blocking, doing everything they can. He skates by and snaps a finger on the hole in the glass. Like, it's ridiculous.
It's and they're like it's at least game one, right? They didn't say anything past that.
No, I think it's just game one, and I don't even know if it's official. It just it doesn't look good, which means probably not going to happen.
A lot. And yeah. And I think Winnipeg, you know, given the way everything played out, like they don't go fast enough to make those big guys move around. And Vegas is big and fast, and they're skilled, and I think they can move the bigger D around a little bit. Like I think it's easier for that defense to play against Winnipeg's style of play than it will be to play against Vegas's, in my opinion.
Well, how do they win? If you're in Montreal, that's what you want to know. How? What is the formula to beating Vegas?
Okay, so I don't think Montreal plays a boring sit back style. They forechecked and they took all the air out of the other teams. So I think you can forecheck Vegas. I think you can get to the front of the net on them a little bit. I think that's where they generate their offense from. Defensively, like, you know, they just cannot get caught on the rush. Like that's a game they can't win. So I think they've got to, you know, like you forecheck and you hold the puck and you protect the puck and, you know, you hope your big guys can clog up the middle and then your goalie's good. But I think they can make it a hard series. I just think Vegas is too good. I would have said the same with Colorado, but I just think that division, whoever was going to come out of there was going to be too good for Montreal.
Yeah, and the other thing, too, is you get through the team and the goalie. Like, I think Marc-Andre Fleury's played his best hockey that I've seen him in many, many years. Like, he's confident. The guys read off of him. He's, you know, a lot, like, from a structural standpoint, there's not a lot of weaknesses in his game. Like, he looks really strong and confident. And, you know, if Montreal's able to break through, you got the Flower sitting there, and that's something you got to find a way to get to him, because we have, you know, we have seen him melt. It's been a long time now. That's been years ago. What series was that? Was that
Washington.
Philly and Pitt? Wasn't
no,
it
Philly
him?
Pitt?
Philly. Yeah, it was
Philly.
Oh,
Pitt.
Yeah.
Series. I want to say the first game was. I might have this wrong. The first game was like 9-7.
It was 10-8. It was
10-8. Okay.
10-8.
There were pucks flying in. Goalies had funnels on. Pucks that were wide, they funneled them in. It was unreal, that series.
Funneled.
Well, but there's an interesting relationship here, right? Like French-Canadian, and he's playing in Montreal in the playoffs, in the semifinals. Like, he's seen it all, he's done it all, but this is going to be something that means a lot to him, clearly. Like, sure. You're playing in Montreal against Carey Price, where Ken Dryden played, and, you know, Patrick Waugh, he's familiar with the history. So clearly he's going to play a primary role. And then you have the Pacioretty story hanging over everything as well. He's back in Montreal, and we know how it went out and how he went out. And he's looked pretty good to me. And he's had a good couple of years in Vegas. And he's obviously going to be inspired for bigger and better things than just shoving it down the, you know, throat of the Montreal Canadiens and Marc Bergevin in particular. But I think most people in Montreal will have Pacioretty circled. Like, what's he got? What's he going to bring to the series?
Yeah, well, I don't often get into the goalie like, oh, I can't wait to see them play each other, because they don't ever face each other. Like, you know, they face the shooters. But Fleury and Price really interest me. Suzuki and Pacioretty really interest me.
Yeah.
Like, there's lots of cool little storylines in it. And, you know, there is similarities to, you know, Vegas gets pumped that first game. It looked, you know, Colorado looked like they were the video game, right? And Vegas was going to have no chance. And then Montreal looked dead in the water, down 3-1. And so they both figured out the way that they best play, and they both played it, like, you know, four straight for Vegas, and what is it, seventh straight for Montreal. They both figured out their way. So I think it'll be really interesting, because it'll be so different, the way the two teams are. The last series was just on a racetrack. for Vegas, and this will be different. And there'll be challenges for them in that, too. They're not going to get to go as fast as they want. There's going to be some times when it's going to be boring and, you know, the water's muddy and they got to be patient, and we'll see if they can handle that.
Ray, do you think there's anything Flower can do to possibly, like, there's, I'm just going off of Twitter nonsense, but they're like possible matchup, whoever wins or plays better is might be the starting goalie for Canada, or is that Carey Price's job regardless?
I think it's Price's, but I also think that, if Fleury put up three shutouts in this series and wins, and then stumbles out of the blocks the next year, then he's not the starter. Like he's got the inside. I would say he's got the inside track for sure to be one of the three guys, Fleury and Price, of course. But how does anything this year finalize your roster next year? When they get those guys, isn't it going to be, he's playing the best right now. He's our starter.
Yeah.
Not going to be a question mark, I don't think.
I would agree. It's more about choosing the players. If Fleury was on the cusp of it and then needed a good series to earn that spot. But I agree with you, Ray. Both of these guys, I think, are going to be on the team. It's going to be who's playing well. You still give Price the inside track, because guess what's going to happen next year around Christmas time? We're going to see regular season Price. And Al's brother is going to be on our show saying that he's the seventh-ranked goaltender in Canada.
Never
blah,
know.
Blah, blah. And
then
Jake Allen season.
And Jake Allen's now playing. Remember he had Allen? Did he have Jake Allen as the...
Ahead of Carey Price more impressed with.
But at that time, there was regular season Price. And you can't deny that because, Carey, for some reason, isn't as motivated or isn't as sharp on a Tuesday night in February as opposed to what we've seen here in the playoffs the last couple of years.
Well, just think at one point it was, the conversation was around Price and then who else is going to be really inexperienced behind him, and then Fleury just went, racing by everybody with the season that he's had. And so what looked at one point like, gee, maybe there's going to be a couple young guys in the mix, it's the old dogs that are going to be the goalies. Unless something crazy happens between now and then.
Well, throw one other thing in here, because he's capable of doing it. There are only four teams left. What if Fleury leads this team to a Stanley Cup win? He might be in the Conn Smythe conversation then. All of a sudden, you get a cup and a Conn Smythe. That's pretty good. You add that to the other cups, the pedigree that Fleury could bring even heading into next season. It's not a slam dunk, but that's what is in front of Marc-Andre Fleury as well as Carey Price. I guess he's got an opportunity. I think if Montreal wins the cup, Carey Price, I would think, would be the Conn Smythe winner.
Oh, yeah, slam dunk, I would think, right? Slam dunk. But listen, I think ultimately what it means is Canadians feel a lot better about the goaltending situation than they did a year ago, 6 months ago even. Because I remember doing this when we were on the panel or for trade deadline or free agency or whatever, whichever one it was, and looking at it saying, I like Hellebuck more for the Americans, I like Vasilevsky more for the Russians.
Yeah.
And it was as if the goaltending could be a weak link. And as of now, I don't think that'll be the case. Doesn't mean they'll be the best in the tournament, but they're not going to lose you games. And with the team that Canada is going to put forward, 12 forward, 6 defensemen, you get competent goaltending, you're probably going to win gold. So that works for me. I think it would work for most Canadians.
It's funny, just even talking about this, I don't even think too much about the Olympics, but when you start talking about it like this, I'm like, damn, that would be good. That would be great to watch again.
Go ahead.
Sorry, go ahead.
Just talking about the Tampa Islanders series. In the past, you've talked about the Islanders, how they kind of, they work so hard and they kind of sputter out because, and we're always talking this playoff series about top-end talent or how they're out of the playoffs, but they don't seem to have the star power to get it done. I think you've used the phrase in the past, they fizzle out. Is that going to be key for guys like Barzal, Eberle, Nelson to kind of play above and beyond of what they've ever done before to get through Tampa?
I think so because everybody, of course, we know everybody's got a ceiling to what they can do. And the in my opinion, the Islanders' ceiling is lower than what Tampa's is. And so they've, I think we saw last year, those games were not walkaways. They're just, there was a point you're like, the Islanders can't score. They're just not going to score. Mm-hmm. And they end up getting knocked out. Well, this time around, it seems like, you know, with Paul Mary scoring and, you know, like you're like, gee, they didn't have that before. Maybe they can get enough guys playing right up to their ceiling to beat the best team. Because if both teams get to their ceiling, Tampa wins. I think Tampa, by a, not a considerable margin, but I think Tampa is the best team. I think it's an upset if the Islanders win, but they will. They seem to be a different team than last year. It seemed like last year, even as they were winning series and, you know, and stretching through, that they, I don't know, like they were stretched thin, like this was all they had. It doesn't quite feel like that this year, but I just think Tampa's, like, Tampa's got so many people that can be on the board, that can score, that can chip in, and their goalie is the best goalie in that series.
Yeah.
He's the best goalie in the game.
Agreed. You know, it's funny, guys. I went back and looked at it. Like, you know how we always talk about goaltending and, you know, spending money in net? You got Price at 10.5. You got Vasilevsky at 9.5. You got Fleury at 7 and Varlamov at 5. Like, they're, you know, it's not the, hey, we got Scott Darling here at 1.8 and, you know.
Right. And even in Vegas, you can add Leonard at 5.
Well,
so they've got $12 million in net.
12 sheets in net. And Sorokin is going to be a really good goalie in the league. So I think he's still on an entry level or one of those deals. So, but there is money spent in the net here, which is pretty interesting.
Paid off. You know, as
so
of this,
far.
This year, it's certainly paid off for sure.
Yeah.
Colorado out, and, you know, Toronto's a different situation because they haven't won a round, and their cap situation makes it very, very different. But I don't get the impression, like, people in Colorado, maybe I'm wrong, are saying you got to trade one of the big guys. You know, Rantanen's got to go. Can't get it done. Where's the killer instinct? Yeah, what do they do in Colorado outside of just take another kick at the can next year, try to keep improving?
Well, I think they wait. The one difference I would say, you know, if we're comparing Colorado and Toronto, is Colorado's defense is extremely young. And they're going to add Bowen Byram to it next year. Like, it's hard to be patient, but how many teams win with really young defense? Mm-hmm. Like, none.
Yeah.
They're going to have to pay that Makar, too, soon, aren't they?
That's going
to make things
harder. The other thing is they're not big back there. Like, you know, Girard is tiny. Makar's not huge. Timmins is decent sized. Right. Byron's a decent size.
Graves is their only big guy.
One guy they moved on from that I kind of liked was that Zadorov. I know he kind of had his warts, but he was just a big guy that was a pain in the ass.
And you know what I didn't like? I picture myself playing against guys all the time. He's a little unpredictable. I didn't like guys like that.
Yeah, he is.
It's like if the wires touch, like, look out. If you just happen to be in the way, like, look out. Those guys worry me a bit. So I think for Colorado, it probably would have helped if Kadri wasn't suspended again. Like, that's something they're going to have to figure out. They've got to get Landeskog signed. I don't think they make – like, I don't think there's any real change to make other than, man, you hope that those guys can mature quick enough to, you know, to be good players. They've got another good young player in Alex Newhook that's going to come next year, you know, to play his rookie season. Like, they're really young. I know McKinnon's 9 years, right? He made that clear last night. But, like, they're young. That's a young team. I still think it's a really good team. I think the goalie's up too, isn't he, Noodle?
Yeah, Grubauer's got to be signed, which I didn't love. I didn't love his game last night. I thought he was. I really thought he was the difference in a poor way, unfortunately, because he's played. He's had a fantastic season.
Okay, explain to me, where the hell's he looking on the one goal
behind the net?
I don't. Yeah,
but the puck's at the point. That's like me checking.
It was the most bizarre thing I've ever seen. It's like...
Guys, the only time I've ever seen this, I think I may have told you guys this story once. We were in St. Louis, and we had our rookie dinner and played two nights later.
And sorry, that just sounds funny. I know where this is going.
So we had our rookie dinner. We had our rookie dinner on a Monday. We played in St. Louis on a Wednesday. And in the first period, Kiprusoff was playing in net, and he was looking in the corner, and the puck was at the point. And I was yelling from the bench, like, point, point. And the guy shot it. It had gone in the net and out, and he turned and then reacted, like tried to make a glove save after on the puck was on its way out of the net. And he was so embarrassed. He came to the bench. That made it 2-0 about 10 minutes into the game. And I was like, oh, my God, I'm going to have to go in here. And I could still smell booze on my breath. And he was so embarrassed. And after that, he locked it down. I never seen anybody stand on his head after that. It was like he allowed one of those goals, kind of like Fleury allowed the other night, where he went to reach across, and then he pointed at himself, guys, that's on me. And then he just... he didn't get by him. That happened, and that's the only other time I've ever seen where a goalie was looking the wrong way and it went in the net. And it happened to be in a game 6 in the playoffs, unfortunately.
Yeah, not an ideal strategy for a goaltender, I would say. I would suggest. I mean, I'm not a goaltending guru, but I think that's probably a good lesson. Rule number one, know where the puck is and then
track the puck.
Track the puck. Well, since we've been talking about goaltenders, we never really mentioned Tuukka Rask and the chance that it maybe played his last game in Boston. You know,
Krejci too.
Krejci as well. Yeah. Yeah. Yep, for sure. I mean, those are two guys who have been there for the better part of 12, 13 years. I mean, the big parts of a team that have been very consistent for a long time.
And there's a chance. And good on them that they like Boston, but they both said Boston or nothing. So it's like, I don't know what kind of move that is, Ray.
Talk about cutting your own. If you're trying to negotiate, you've cut your negotiating stance pretty well down to zip.
No kidding,
right?
And so, like, the thing with Rask too is that he won't be ready to play until January. I don't think because he needs that labrum surgery. So maybe they make an evaluation then. Like maybe they don't sign him now, and they're just like, we'll figure that out in January if you're ready and healthy and you want to play. Krejci's an interesting one because he's still good. Like, not that Rask's not, but Krejci's still good. And they don't really have a replacement. Like, would you sign Krejci for 2 years at, like, he's making 7. Would he sign for 5?
3.
That would be if he signed 2 years at 5, that would be a really good deal for Boston. Because I think he's a...
So do you think he gets more? Like, would it be 6? Would it be... You know, because he's saying, I'm not going anywhere else.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think when you're not getting the job done, Ray, sometimes you just got to move on. I mean, it's
I'm sure that's as hard a deal to come up with as any, is that, man, we've had a lot of success with these guys, and you know what, it's time. Yeah. Like, that's got to be hard to do.
Well, that might be the case with a guy like Krejci, who's still very good. By the end of next season, you might say, wow, he's just not the same guy. Like, it can happen that quickly. You've been in the league that long. He's not a burner. He's, you know.
No, but they were smart enough to do it with Chara. Like, they did it with Chara. They walked away from their captain.
But you know what they did, Noodles, first, before that, is he was on one-year deals.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So maybe you go to Krejci and say, you know, it's a one-year deal.
Right.
Because
find the money.
If they don't sign him, they have a gigantic hole in the middle of their lineup, like in the middle of the ice. They're going to go find somebody. The free agency market is not going to be teeming with centers this year. So that's a big decision for them.
Absolutely. Taylor Hall as well. Like, will he stay? Will they want him to stay? Is there a connection there? He's not signing a one-year deal again. I can't imagine he would. So... You know, there's.
You know what I do love, and I know I would be the same way. Is they ask these guys, you know, would you, all these guys that are coming on, you know, expiring contracts, they all say the same thing. You know, I thought it was a good fit. I'd like to sign here. I'd like to explore a longer-term deal. Of course we would. We'd all like to explore that.
Yeah, thank you. We'd all sign up for some exploration of a long-term deal, a very lucrative long-term deal. Sounds
I can look
appealing.
At this. Yeah, you bet I can.
Yeah, I like it.
He got into the playoffs, and I think he was one goal in seven games at the end. I think just 1 point. And he had a really good run once he got cooking there in Boston, and then he went, then he went flat.
Yep.
So they got to decide. Like they feel a little bit like they're in transition here, and it's an important time. Like, can they transition without, flopping at the same time?
They did it 4 or 5 years ago.
Yeah.
And I it's thoroughly impressive. Like, there should be a book written on that. Like, the idea of them transitioning, they kept Bergeron, kept Marchand, had Pastrnak coming, and had McAvoy coming.
If they wouldn't have slammed face first into the wall in that one draft.
Exactly.
When they had the three picks
in a row.
And the next
we were
pick
standing
was
right there. They went up there three times in a row.
Yeah, Barzell, Shabbat, and there was one more that went, like Kyle Connor, I think.
Yes.
Yeah. All went after their three
and
picks.
And
they got Lauzon.
DeBrusque,
and I forget who the other. Oh, Senishin.
Yeah.
See, that DeBrusque will be an interesting case study because
he
was a healthy
one year
there,
left, right?
He was a healthy there, and they've got to either get him going or move on from him.
He's a young guy. Man.
I do too. I think I know there's ties to it, but like, and I don't know if Ken Holland would want to, but I think he's a guy that Edmonton would covet. To play on your second line left wing type of thing. Like, again, I don't know if even Holland would be interested, but a team that needs a left winger, I like DeBrusque. I think he could score. I think he's got some bite. It's just he had a bad year. That's what it was.
We'll see. There's going to be an active offseason.
I mean, LeBrun wrote that article about the expansion process today and when the free agents pop, and I was like, man, that stuff, I was like, ooh, it's going to be interesting this summer with, like Seattle can sign free agents to 8-year contracts. No other team can do that.
Right.
Unless it's their own free agent. And so I'm like, ooh, that's a little curveball.
Nice little carrot
for them.
That's
interesting.
Yeah, for sure. Enjoy the weekend, buddy. We'll do it again Monday at 5.
Yep. Talk to you then, guys. See ya.
There's Ray Ferraro, TSN hockey analyst, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. They take away the fears of buying a pre-owned vehicle by sharing service history, lean history, and accident history. Find out more at MapleToyota.com. Jays at Fenway tonight. Siakam out for about 5 months, if not more, maybe a little bit less, after a torn labrum surgery. So we'll get back into that. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN app. The Islanders at Tampa, and it is time now for the Lays playoff faceoff. Lays is facing off against Ruffles All Dressed, Doritos Sweet Chili Heat, and Smart Food White Cheddar with their three new potato chip flavors available for a limited time. And the playoff face-off presented by Lay's Flavor Face-Off is simple because it's not about the game tonight. It's about the series in general. Islanders versus Tampa. How does this face-off play out?
Hazy, why don't you start for once?
I like Tampa. I like Tampa. I've been consistent with this really since the start of the year. I think they're the best team in the league. I think they're the deepest team in the league. I think they can beat you in any fashion. I think they're grizzled now. They've been through the ringer, getting swept by Columbus, and then they get right back on the horse and win the cup last year. I think they're the best chance of a team to go back-to-back, I guess, since Pittsburgh, who did it back in 16-17. Yeah, and the Islanders have had an incredible run. Great run. They'll show up. They're going to win games. This will not be a sweep. I don't think it ends in five. But I'll say Tampa in six. I think Tampa is too good, too deep, too talented. And when in doubt, if they don't show up, the best goalie in the world will. And that has been pretty consistent for the last couple of playoff runs.
I agree with you. I think the Islanders may get one extra. I think this could be a seven-game series. I think the Islanders are going to surprise people with their style of play. And
are you saying Islanders win in seven?
No, I'm saying Tampa in seven, though. I still believe that Tampa finds a way, but this is not going to be a cake. I'm the same way with Montreal. I think Montreal's getting games off Vegas, too. I don't know how it shakes out in the end, but I wholeheartedly in this, when it comes to Tampa and the Islanders, I think that's going the distance.
I think Tampa in a sweep.
Ooh.
Tampa in a sweep. That is a bold statement.
I said it all year that when these series get together, I believe they will end quickly because one team is just going to be in a different league, and you haven't seen it all year, and they will end quickly.
Wow.
So I'm going to go sweeps for both series.
Wow. I love that, man. That's like saying 100% or zero on Jerry.
That's right. And by the way, the sweep in the other series, I'm not going to mention what team is sweeping.
Oh, wow.
Montreal in a sweep. You think
no, Vegas in a sweep. Vegas-Tampa sweep.
All right, Vegas-Tampa. Well, as we've established, and we're not alone, I mean, the books would indicate that. People in Montreal and on the island would indicate this. Tampa's the favorite. Vegas is the favorite. Like, and it's pretty clear cut. But, you know, both these, the Islanders were a four seed in their division. The Habs were a four seed in their division. So even based on the regular season, forget about the playoffs and how they're built. I mean, this is what we know. I mean, Vegas is better on paper. Tampa's better on paper, but that's why they play the games.
You give me 20-1 on a hunch on that bet, Hayes?
What's that?
20-1 on a hunch?
No, I'm not paying you $2,000 on a – you're saying it's on a double
sweeps?
Sweep? A double sweep? I don't know what the odds would be on a double sweep parlay. It's,
I have to check that out. You guys – somebody can do the research on that. A double sweep parlay.
Out. Yeah. I don't know if it'd be 20-1, but it'd be a lot. It'd be close to 20-1.
That's why I proposed it.
Yeah. No, thank you. Guess what? Do you know what it would pay a Habs Islanders parlay sweep? That would pay –
a hundred
couple
to
hundred
one.
To one. Yeah, I don't even – that'd be off the charts what that would pay.
I'd put $100 on that. I got a buddy who has, like, an app in Nevada. I could call him, and he could just put a – I could figure out the odds.
Okay, we can figure that out. Believe me, it's accessible. It's not hard to figure out. We're just live on the air.
All right.
Al's brother's there. Why don't we come back and see if Al's brother can find that before we wrap up the show.
Find and find some other juicy bets for these two series.
Okay, so we'll get to those. We'll tee up the Jays at Fenway all weekend, and the Euros are off and running, man. Italy 3-0 earlier today. Italy feeling it. A lot
their
of matches.
Their midfield was dialed in today. Hazy.
Dialed. They own the midfield of the pitch. And lots of matches and fixtures this weekend, so we look forward to that. We'll start teeing that up as well. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN app. Overdrive is brought to you by Coors Light, Mountain Cold Refreshment, made to chill. Our boy Gurdeep is already on the case, so he may be mowing the lawn of Al's brother here. But Gurdeep has pumped in a two-play parlay, Tampa sweep, Vegas sweep, 34-1, according to the book that he's using. 34-1. That's so if you're getting 34-1 on a sweep for Tampa and a sweep for Vegas parlay, a Habs Islanders parlay would be off the charts. And Al's brother, you might have that info.
I got it.
Oh, yeah. I got it.
I do got it. 44,000 to 1.
Stop it, Al's brother.
That was the number courtesy of Aaron Korolnik from The Edge. Yeah. Said 44,000 to 1. For a Montreal and Islanders sweep?
441 to 1. It so cannot, that if you put $100 up.
44,000 to 1?
Sorry.
There's never been a parlay in the history of the world
It's 441 to 1. Okay. If you put $100 up, you win 44,000.
That's you have it. Lost any right to talk about gambling on
turn his
any
microphone
show.
Off.
Like, so literally every casino around the world would have to close or go bankrupt because the Habs and the Islanders might sweep. I like it. Yeah.
Worth the bet. Worth the bet.
That's still pretty good, man. Those are like so 441 to 1. That's
I would put $100 on both of
$1,000.
Those.
Yeah. I'd put $1,000 on both.
I would.
That's rich. I would. But I would put $100.
No chance the Habs and the Islanders are going to sweep.
No,
like,
I agree.
There's just what are the chances? We just revealed what the chances are.
Dude, why would you say that? You never know. Look how good those teams are, man.
Well, the chances, Vegas believes they're 44 to 1 odds. So 441 to 1. Sorry, there you go.
This is so confusing
this
now.
This is a circus.
Al's brother just
one guy just said 41, and the other guy said 44,000.
It's 441 to 1. So Vegas believes it's 441 to 1. That's crazy. Mm-hmm. I would put $100 on that. I would.
Okay. Well,
It might be worth it.
Let's see what happens. Anything else for that caught your eye, Al's brother? Anything crazy that maybe we could lay some money on with these two series starting on Sunday and Monday?
Not really. So here's taking a peek behind the glass. I couldn't access it on our servers here, so I was unable to actually take a look.
Oh, well, that's disappointing.
It is disappointing.
Because Bell doesn't really let you do that. I know I've been down that road before as a degenerate in that building.
Yeah.
At home, I don't have any issues whatsoever. My wife might put them on at some point and say, we need this thing childproof. The gambling searches.
There would be some cool prop bets, though. I mean, I bet you there'd be one between Suzuki and Pacioretty, more points.
That's what should be one. Yeah, that's a perfect example of the future. It's the here and now, but those are the kind of things you throw $10 on Suzuki getting more points or whatever it is, and it just makes it that much more interesting, the game within the game.
I would love that.
Yeah, for sure. The tournament got started today. Perfect opportunity for a little Coors Light on a patio maybe, and your team, Italy, you're obviously supporting the Italians. Like, Italy, everyone that has any Italian heritage has to prove how big of a soccer fan they are.
Yes.
It's so annoying. Like, everyone all of a sudden knows everything about the Italian soccer team. It's not true at all.
They come out of the woodworks, man. Even if they're not a fan of soccer, the gear comes out. Andy, look at this.
That was me right before the game. I went out, had to pump the tires. Forza Azzurri.
Yeah.
Wow.
How many
everyone
players could you
digs
name
at the bottom
team?
Of the drawer and gets that hoodie right there that guy was wearing. Everyone digs in the bottom of the drawer and pulls it out.
We have to have a chat with Andy Petrillo, though. She had Andrew Mangiapane on the other day, interviewed, coming off the World Championships. And she's like, let's go to Calgary Flames. Andrew Mangiapane.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, what is she doing? Like,
the enunciation.
Dressed it up.
You really have to hammer it home. We get it. He's Italian.
And every time she reset, it was like his name in Italian. Like, I think it actually rattled him, too.
It probably did.
Yeah.
It probably did. Well, listen, good start for your boys, Al's brother. And, O-Dog, Team Al-Dog, you guys are off to a really hot start. And
we're perfect.
Noodles, you and I, we've got a couple of games cooking this weekend, so we'll be in a good spot. And it's one game in. We're one game in.
Love
what more can you say other than that? And the Euros can be heard exclusively here on TSN Radio, seen on TSN throughout the tournament. We've got a full month of this. It's awesome. Djokovic ended up winning earlier today, so he's through Nadal's out at the French Open. That never happens. Joker is into the finals this weekend in the French Open, also seen on TSN. So good stuff, Al's brother. Shout out to everyone involved today. Enjoy your weekends. We are out of here. Enjoy the games. Enjoy your evenings. We're back Monday at
Forza, 4 p.m.
We'll chat then.
You've been listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 3, powered by Scarborough Nissan. Driving satisfaction. It's the all-in clear-out sales event. Finance a 2020 Rogue S for 0% APR for 84 months, or get an up to $5,500 cash purchase bonus on select other models. Scarborough Nissan, Eglinton Avenue East at Warden.